We're going into a series now called Spirit-Led Character. Galatians 5:25, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. I want to go in this whole area of Spirit-led life, because we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. Honestly, we can't do it with religion. We can't do it with being attached to a family that has good ties in with an organization, a religious organization, so that you're guaranteed that when you die, you can get buried in that graveyard. You know, that's a real secure thing. Really? Like, get one with a view, you know, like, so you can kind of look around as the ships are coming in and stuff like that. The place you're buried or the organization you're with actually has no relevance about what is going on in your life today and what will go on in your life in the future. The relevance is, what is the Holy Spirit doing in your life to change you? What is the Holy Spirit doing in your life to encourage you? And so we need to be Spirit-led in everything we do. Spirit-led, Holy Spirit-led. So let's kind of look at this. Galatians 5:13-26. For you were called to freedom. How many of you want to be free? That's it. Freedom is the awesome thing. Do not turn your freedom into the opportunity for the flesh. Now, as putting this together, and I'm thinking, you know, it's Mother's Day, and we should just do some warm and fluffy stuff. You know, because then people would come back and say, hey, that guy preaches really nice and warm and fluffy. If you'll hang in, there's some warm and fluffy stuff coming, okay? But really, we're talking about life here and the struggle that we have, all of us, with who we are and how we change and transform into the likeness of Christ. So just hang in there, okay? Just don't do a mass exodus saying you're going to buy stuff from the lobby for Mother's Day, but just hang in there with me. So for you were called to freedom, only don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Now that sounds pretty good. For the whole law is fulfilled in this one word, in this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So who's your neighbor? Maybe you're in a good neighborhood, and this is easy to do. But, you know, before you can even do that, you need to love yourself. And Elaine and I have counseled for a lot of years, and we've gone through this ourselves, but who are you? And do you really love yourself? Because if you don't love yourself, it's going to be really hard to love your neighbor. And so what God wants you to do is he wants you to learn to love yourself. Now, that's narcissism. No, it's not. Narcissism is when you love yourself so much you just tell everybody, like, how wonderful I am, and you're so thankful and should be to have me here. Aren't I wonderful and beautiful? Really beautiful. The bottom line is you should love yourself because Christ loves you and is living inside of you. And he's changed you. All right? He is the one who's changed you. And so, here's some nice light words. If you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. Bite and devour. But you're waiting for the warm and fluffy stuff coming, right? We do that sometimes. We can be pretty nasty to each other as spouses. We can do that to our kids, and our kids can do it to us. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh. So if you're in the Spirit, you'll walk in the Spirit. And the Spirit will be lighter in your life than you are. In other words, it will come forth. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So if the Holy Spirit's living inside of you and you're allowing him to fill you up, when you get into a situation, it won't be, as my case, the old Jim Caruso coming out. Because he can come out. He's still, those files are still there. I know how to access those files really. When I get ticked or something like it, it's real easy to get the old Jim Caruso to come out. So, for the flesh sets its desire against the spirit. It's really hard when it's you that's prominent in your life. But it's not as hard to deal with a situation if the Holy Spirit's prominent in your life. And that is really difficult. That's the character issue. Have you ever seen anybody in the church that just moves in the spirit and they're just, you don't even want to be in the same room with them? Have you ever seen that kind of a situation where somebody is moving in the spirit and then they have a moral failure? Elaine and I have dealt with so much of that in the last 6 or 8 years. Because there's a character flaw. It's not a gift flaw. And we'll talk about the gift. It's a character flaw. You know, when you go to the doctor, maybe you got a really good doctor. I have a really nice doctor. But some doctors, they come in and they're just so cold, like they don't have a bedside manner. That's a character thing. They might be an introvert, or they might be a person that's closed themselves off because they need to be able to do their job properly. But what we need to do is we need to set all that stuff aside and let the Holy Spirit become our spokesperson. It's got to be Him. And we got to set our desire with the Spirit, not against it. And the Spirit against the flesh, and these are in opposition to one another. There's a battle that goes on. You ever felt like you just like to put your Christianity on the shelf for like about a half an hour and then deal with the issue and pick it up? Do you ever get ticked when somebody gets in front of you in a line that you've already been standing in? Elaine and I were in a situation the other day, and just yesterday, I guess it was. And it was funny because we'd met this person at one of our church functions, the Easter church function. And we were standing in line. We're next ones to go into this, actually the earthquake thing. You know, did you hear about that? You can get into this little house and it reacts just like 8.0 Richter scale earthquake. It's really kind of interesting. Like, you don't want to be there, that's for sure. You want to be on holidays if that ever happens. So we're standing there ready to go in, and this lady comes with a couple other people and she says, "Oh, I'm just going to move in front of you." So some of you are reacting already, right? Yeah, sure you are, lady. Like, you get the back of the 30 people behind us, or you can say, "That's okay. We're in the forgiveness business, and so go for it." It actually opens up an opportunity to talk about God. Instead of saying, "Oh, I'm sure sorry, God, the way I responded to that." So that's the difference. I know that's the difference in my life. When somebody's trying to do or getting ahead of me, I just need to remember that Christ is living in me, and there's a way for me to deal with my emotions at that time. My character needs to change. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident. This is great. Listen to these. Which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, which I forewarn you. That sounds like a family reunion for me. That's what would happen in the old days. It was kind of like a family reunion. It's just all this stuff happening. And it says, I forewarn you of these, just as I forewarned you that those who practice, understand this, practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, so some of you might think, well, you know what? I really messed up yesterday. I swore. I did a swear. That's what our kids would say. I did a swear. I swore. Or I got angry at that person. Or I shouted at that person. Or I cut that person off because they deserved it. Or I avoided that person. Or I don't like that person. Those are situations that you can ask for forgiveness. But if you practice that, if you practice that kind of lifestyle, then you're not showing the character of God. Christ isn't living through you. If you walk by the Spirit, you need to live by the Spirit. The Spirit needs to be alive inside of you. Okay. warm and fuzzy. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. How do you apply that? Well, I don't know how many of you work for somebody else, but it's like if you work for someone else, but Jesus is your boss doesn't need to worry about how you're going to be as far as integrity. How are you going to be as far as your capacity of work? You're going to do the best you can because Jesus is your boss. It's the same with this, is you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, so you can take these characteristics to develop your character. Now, this doesn't mean that you're kind of all mushy and mamsy-pamsy and, oh, yes, I just love everyone and nobody ever gets me mad. I just am so happy. I sleep well at night and I just do things and I hold my enemies closer to me. I found that that's the best way because then they don't have the leverage to put a knife in your back. If you get them really close, they don't have that leverage. I don't think that's what the scripture's saying. But what it is that you start to change the way that you deal with circumstances that push your buttons. What you're doing is you're asking God to change your control panel. So when somebody pushes that button, you don't react the same way. You don't react in an artificial way because that's just hurting yourself and being not true. But when God can work inside of your life to make you like Him, isn't that what we want? I mean, we really do. We want to be people who reflect Jesus Christ, because when we're Christians, that means that we're Christ-like. And you can read the scriptures and some of us go, well, you know what? Jesus got mad at the Pharisees. He called them a bunch of vipers and he just, you know, he just railroaded, he took the tables, hallelujah. I'm going to demonstrate right now. And I go out there, I want you all to come on and flip those tables over. Money changers in the house of the Lord. It wasn't, you know, I mean, that wasn't a character flaw in Jesus. We're not upsetting the power of God or the focus of God by doing this. We're actually using this fundraiser to bring more kids to Christ. So this is okay. It was that they were selling the doves and all the different, the animals and all the different things, and they were making money off that for themselves. And Jesus said, you turned my house of prayer into a merchandising place. So Jesus many times would deal with the person on the street and they were caught in adultery or they were dealing with some situation in their life. They were a thief from the taxation department. That, and what Jesus do? He didn't go, you know what, you're just the scum of the earth. He actually just spent some time with him. He said, I'm coming to your house, Zacchaeus, the little man in the tree. Coming to your house and I'm going to have dinner with you. I want to have dinner with you. I want to get in. I want to show you the love of Christ because that's my character. I want to get there. I want to get down. And when we're just, Elaine and I were talking about this, when the woman was caught in adultery and Jesus wrote in the dirt, I don't know what he wrote. We have lots of theologians that know what he wrote. I don't know how they know. I really don't. But I heard one guy, a commentator, say that it just shows that Jesus can get down in the dirt with people. That's a beautiful character. We need to have love. We need to love people. There's some pretty horrible things that are happening in our society, and we see it on the news. It's really hard to love those people who have committed those acts. But Jesus loves them. Imagine that. Jesus loves them. It's hard to have joy. Joy, 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 down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Remember that song? And it should it should be all over you. No, not all the time, you know, hallelujah, I've just been through the windshield of my car, and I'm, you know, I just, and I actually caused the accident, and you know what, I just have so much joy. I don't have any teeth, but I have joy, you know. It's not like that. That's artificial. That's phony. But I'll tell you, when you have the joy of the Lord and you go through the windshield of your car, you know that either you're going to make it and you're going to get, God's going to intervene with the doctors, you're going home. And that should bring you joy. That should bring you peace. Which is the next one. Peace. Isn't that amazing? Like, to have peace in a world full of stress. I was just in Mark's Workwear World and bought some clothes. And if you donate to some organization, I don't even know what it was. If you donate to them, they give you a stress ball. It's awesome. They give you a stress ball. That's the world we live in. It's a stress place. So I took two. God gave me two hands, right? So I have, you know what? You need to not have to use stress balls. You need to have Jesus inside of you and have the peace of God that lives inside of you, and the Holy Spirit guides you so that you sleep at night because you have the peace that passes all your understanding and guards your heart and your mind. And that peace is not a concept. That peace is not a program that you use. That peace is Jesus Christ, and He lives inside of you. You should be able to go to sleep at night. I'm a counselor, and I know when I say that, you're going, yeah, but you don't know my story. And I don't. But I do know this, that I've seen God through the Holy Spirit work in your story and allow you to sleep. Then there's patience. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I thought I was getting better. I'm very impatient. My computer, like sometimes it takes a nanosecond longer than I want to warm up. Or, you know what the best part is, when it says, Microsoft Office is not responding. I am. I'm responding, and I would like to take Microsoft and a small 4-6-pound sledgehammer, and I'd like to introduce them to each other. Patience is something that if you have the peace and the confidence in the Holy Spirit that He's going to work out everything, your patience becomes like, wow, okay, God, what are you doing here? How can I just trust you? That's the bottom line, is if you have patience, you've learned to trust the Holy Spirit inside of you. We're going to go into all these in a lot more depth. Kindness. How kind are you? Are you kind to certain people? Are you kind to everyone? Or are you just kind of hard to get along with? Because, you know, my daughter-in-law has a really good description of people who are a little difficult, or they're really difficult, not a little, to get along with. They're kind of like cranky pants. They are. They're just like, and you know, we shouldn't be cranky pants people when we belong to Christ and we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Now, if you got something going on in your life, honestly, there's probably some the stuff coming out. You need to get some help. You need to talk to Christ and let Him kind of clean that up. Bring healing in those areas. But you should be kind. You should be kind people. I think hanging around with Jesus, we would have seen that He was kind. He saw needs. He saw people that had needs, and He was able to engage in those needs. And goodness. We should have goodness. We should be good people. Our word should be yay or nay. And if it's yay when it should have been nay, we should follow through with the responsibilities. Because we like, and I'm very bad for this, I like to tell you what you want to hear. And I can't fulfill a lot of those things. But it makes me happy to see that you're happy, at least for that time. Then that gets back to these other areas where you need to express these kind of kind things to me, because I failed you. I said something and couldn't fulfill it. And we need to be kind, we need to be good people that have this quality in our lives that is above repute. So what does that mean? Like, we should be a society, we should be within our society, I mean, that gives us this ability that people can't pin anything on you. They're going to try, but don't give them any opportunity to do it. Don't do anything that looks off to the side. Don't give them opportunity to think certain things. We need to be people who reflect the Holy Spirit. Remember a story about a guy who used to go over to watch pornographic movies in the far side of his town, a big city like this. Maybe he'd go over to West Vancouver or something like that. He didn't. It's not somebody here, okay? And he used to go over there because nobody knew him. He could be incognito. He could go to this situation and then he could leave there. And one day the Holy Spirit said to him, I'd rather you didn't take me into those places. That ring your bell or what? I'd rather you didn't take me into those kind of movies. I don't like them. Elaine and I were watching TV just the last couple of nights, and just about every commercial that was on had to do with sex. I mean, they didn't have anything to do with the product. It just had to do with sex. We're getting inundated with this kind of thing that just turns us into people who kind of go, well, it's, you know, that's the way the society is, and sometimes our vocabulary and the stories we tell and stuff that just doesn't line up with the Holy Spirit. And when we're walking in the Holy Spirit, there's a check before you say it. There needs to be a check before you say it, because people are listening. Then there's faithfulness. And that's more than faith. Faithfulness is being faithful. Faithful, the Holy Spirit's faithful to you. Billy Graham said, you got to fight God's love all the way to hell. Because the Holy Spirit is like the hound of heaven. He'll come after you. He won't let you go. He's faithful. And we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful to our children. We need to be faithful to our spouses. We need to be faithful to the commitments that we have in our job and in our organizations that we belong to. We need to be faithful there. But we really need to be faithful to become holy people, a nation, a group of people that exude the Holy Spirit. We just need to be that kind of people. What does that mean? What does that look like? When you listen to the Holy Spirit and you're faithful to read your word, you know, like, and I'm not saying that you have to read for an hour and pray for an hour and check that off in your list. What I'm talking about is being faithful to get to know Jesus through the Holy Spirit. When you read the word of God, I hope that it's just alive to you still. Like, I read it every morning, and so far I have not missed, which is really good. I mean, I can show you the checklist if you want. It's just a habit I got into. I didn't always do that. But it's a program on my iPad, and I read it. And the reality is that it becomes something that I can learn more about. I think I've read that like 20 times, 30 times. I preach that, and there's something new, a nugget that comes out. If we're faithful to connect after 43 years of marriage, if I'm faithful to this woman, we're going to have an amazing, amazing relationship. And we do. And our kids are going to see that amazing, amazing relationship, and they do. And our grandkids are going to see the amazing relationship that we have and the amazing relationship that their mom and dad have, and they're going to go in and have those kind of relationships as well. That's faithfulness. Is it easy? Ask Elaine. It's not been easy living with me. Really hasn't. But she believes in me. She believes in the Holy Spirit, and she believes that God can change both of us, and He has. But he's the fiber that keeps us together. I'm faithful to that woman. I can say that after 43 years of marriage, I'm faithful to her. She can look at my iPad and there's nothing on there that I'm afraid that she's going to find. She can look at my phone. She can look at my computer. We don't send letters anymore, so she doesn't see any of them. I don't have any. That's faithfulness. That is something that you build. And if you have that relationship with your Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit, that faithfulness grows and develops. Then there's gentleness. Gentleness is so important. No, not mamsy-pamsy stuff again. But gentleness, and Christ was gentle. Firm, but gentle. And then self-control. Isn't that an easy one? It's not the last one, and these aren't options, okay? The fruit of the Spirit isn't optional. The gifts are. You can't just go, oh, I really like joy. Goodness is, well, it's not all it's cracked up to be, so maybe I'll go with faithfulness, and I should take more than half because that would look good. Self-control. Are you kidding? I'm just going to have a sit down. I'm going to have a donut and three donuts and a coffee and just decide on this because I'm not addicted to sweets. So, you know what? Self-control is amazing because how can you hold back in some areas? Like, what if you're addicted? What if you're self-medicating because of something? What if you have this anger issue? Self-control. They say, and I should have said this in the beginning, love is never saying having to say you're sorry. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I never made it. I think love is being able to say you're sorry and mean it. That's what I think love is. But self-control. I wish I had it. We can have a tub of ice cream for visit. You know, we have guests. So you want to have nice things for guests, right? So we have ice cream. Because if we have ice cream on our own, we'll just eat it. But if we have ice cream for guests, that's kind of nice. And then they'll go and we'll eat it. We'll buy a box of cookies. You know, a box of cookies is quite a few cookies. Some people can eat one or two. I can't. And they're not even salty like peanuts. I just eat them because they're there. Elaine's mom has a candy dish. And the candies actually are those wine gums. You know those things? They stay in that jar for months. I really like them when they're hard. And like we don't have candy dishes. Why get a dish dirty? We'll eat it right out of the bag. And we'll eat it as soon as we get home or on the way home. Oh, there's the candy. Let's rip them open. We got about 10 minutes. We can get 90% of them down. It was Valentine's Day. Can I tell that story? We only had 4 grandkids at the time. And Elaine bought a bunch of chocolate hearts, you know. She bought 4. But she bought them too early. And so there was only 3 left, and we couldn't send them to the one family because one of the kids had 2 kids. Well, they each had 2 kids, I think, at the time. So you couldn't send one, like, so we're just going to send them to the one grandkids. And then we ate another one, and then, of course, you can't. So then we thought, well, we're sunk. Let's eat them both. So we ate them all, and the kids never got anything. That's not true because we went out and bought some fresh ones for them, and probably a few for ourselves. That's what I'm talking about, the self-control. Now, in that kind of a case, you know what I'm not involved in self-control because I get larger. Somebody said what you do in the ministry, when you go into ministry, you buy one type of suit, the same color, and you buy it in a whole bunch of different sizes. And then you can just grow and people don't even know because you've always wore the same suit. That's not self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. And Rick Warren says this, character is both developed and revealed by tests, and all of life is a test. And if you know Rick Warren's story, it's a huge test. His son took his life a couple of years ago now. Romans says this, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know the sufferings produce perseverance. Perseverance, character, that's what we're talking about. And character, hope. If you have character, the Holy Spirit character inside of you, you have hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And then there's a thing called testing. Testing is like getting an orange that's squeezed, and out should only come orange juice. And attitude and faith determine the character. How do you look at that? Where are you grown? Have we grown to that place? Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led into the Spirit by the Spirit into the wilderness. And he did pretty good in there. I don't know with you, but after 40 days, I'm pretty cranky if I haven't eaten. Like after, between meals. When I fasted, my kids would go, oh, you're fasting again, Dad, because you're really cranky. Scripture says, wash your face. I wash my face, but I'd love to do it with like whipped cream or something because I was so hungry. Jesus went in, and his character, in the middle of a spiritual war with the devil himself, his character never wavered from any of these things we're talking about. The world knows this. Peter Schultz says this, hire character and train skill. You can't train character. Hire character and train skill. And Scripture defines character by these things, the fruit of the Spirit. If we could have the team come again, we're going to close our service. And actually, it's officially closed right now. If you need to go, and I know some of you have some other plans, lots of things, excuse me, out in the lobby for you to purchase for Mother's Day to help. All that money goes towards the History Makers fundraiser, so you're actually just donating and getting some real nice blessing. We're gonna have you stand, and if you'd like to go now, we'd just kind of officially dismiss you with a prayer. But if you'd like prayer, we'd just like some of the prayer people to come forward, pastors and their wives and board members and their wives and others who are on the prayer team. If you just kind of make your way up here right now, we would like to pray for you before you go because we believe that God wants to do something in your life. He wants to become the character in your life through his Holy Spirit. And so we just want to pray for you. We don't want to let you go without that. So please feel free that you're dismissed. But if you want prayer, please come forward.